Jesus had an amazing way of meeting people right where they were and speaking their language. To speak to two fishermen and to say to them, "Follow me and I will make you proclaimers of the word and devout followers of God Almighty. And you will convert many people." Well, what are they going to say to that? No, what he said was, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people."
That's just ahead on this episode of Guerrilla Christianity. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and this is Guerrilla Christianity. When God calls us into faith with Him, He doesn't stop there. He also calls us into action, into ministry. Well, we in the Methodist Church believe in a concept called the ministry of all Christians, that when we are baptized into Christ's church, we become ministers of the faith, and so we are sent into the world to make disciples of all nations and to teach them to obey all that He commands us. In today's episode, we're going to look at the calling of Andrew and Peter and James and John on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. We know the story. We know that they were fishermen. We know the call that Jesus laid upon them. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." But we're going to take a look at what exactly it means to fish for people. And also, we're going to look at how we need different seasons of both action and also mending. And so, if you have your Bible, you can open it up to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to continue our series on evangelism called The Great Invitation. And today's episode is titled, "Follow Me."
Well, we are continuing our sermon series based on evangelism. It's called The Great Invitation. And we have already seen how Jesus began His ministry with His own baptism to identify with us. We saw last week that He invited the disciples to come and see. And we looked at how we bring people to Jesus, but He is the one who opens their eyes, because we're all born blind, and He is the one who is able to make us see. So we come, we see. And this week we're going to examine our own calls to ministry. You know, in the Methodist tradition, we believe in what's called the ministry of all believers, or the ministry of all Christians. We believe that all Christians are called through their baptism to this ministry of servanthood in the world to the glory of God and for human fulfillment. We're all called to be ministers of God, not just the person standing in the pulpit, but everybody. Every single one of us who is baptized in the faith is also baptized in to service to Christ. And we are called. We are sent. We are all ministers. So let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. We're going to listen to the calling of the first disciples in Galilee. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. "And now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, He withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made His home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As He walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed Him. As He went from there, He saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And He called them, Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Eternal God, our Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may come to you and see your will for us as we go forth at your bidding into the world to proclaim your good news. Fill us with wisdom and joy as we receive your holy word this day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was younger, much, much, much younger, my father taught me how to fish. He brought me a little Zebco reel, you know, the kind you push the button and you let it go. You know, it's real easy, you know, no muss, no fuss. Very easy for a young kid. What's not easy for a young kid is the waiting. You know, I hated the waiting. But, you know, sitting with my dad on the shore of the lake or the stream or wherever we were fishing was always a good time for me. When we went to Mexico in 2011, Aaron and I went to Mexico and we stayed with a family. And the father of the family, his name was Damian, and he and I became very good friends. One day, we all took a trip down to the Gulf of Mexico. La Palmilla is about an hour's drive away from the Gulf of Mexico. And we drove down there to spend a day at the beach. It's not like the beach around here, believe me. For one thing, you can't walk on the black sand in bare feet for very long before you feel like you've lost everything below the knee. But Damian, that day, I never saw this before, but he went fishing. And he went fishing in a way that was totally different from the way that I was used to fishing. He took a net. Not a net on a pole like you would catch a fish after you reeled it in, but an actual huge net, like 8 feet across. And he would gather it up on his arm, and he would hold part of it in his teeth, and then he would fling it out into the ocean and pull it back in. And I'll tell you how many fish he caught that way at the end of the sermon. But it was a totally different way of fishing. I had never seen it before. And watching him cast his net into the sea, I suddenly understood a lot of the scriptures that talked about casting nets and how these fishermen made their living in the time of Jesus. In verse 12, we read that Jesus heard that John had been arrested and he withdrew to Galilee. Now, there's a lapse of time in the Synoptic Gospels, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but that where directly after Jesus' baptism and temptation, he then goes to Galilee. But this lapse is explained in John's Gospel. We saw that last week where he first met Andrew and Peter and James and John in the region of Judah. So, verse 13, he left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So, he left Nazareth. Nazareth was his hometown. But he left there, and he really made his kind of base of operations in Capernaum. Matthew mentions Nazareth in passing in this particular passage. Now, by the sea means by the Sea of Galilee, not by the Mediterranean Sea, as we would think. Zebulun and Naphtali were tribes of the northern kingdom and the first to fall when the Assyrians conquered Israel around 750 BC. In verse 14, he says, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And here, Matthew, writing to a Jewish audience, emphasizes the prophecy fulfilled in Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. We read that in the lectionary earlier today. But now we come to the message of Christ. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's fascinating that his message is the same message that we read in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse I'm sorry, I turned back too many. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. This is the message of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Funny, when you read those two verses side by side, they're exactly identical. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus, taking up the mantle of John as the prophet, is now proclaiming the very same word that John proclaimed. Jesus, the very word of God, affirms that the message that John was proclaiming is the message of God. Okay, let's go on to 18, because this is really where I want to sit for a while. I want to sit here where it says Jesus calls the first disciples. So as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Well, we met Simon and Andrew last week when we heard of Andrew's call, when Andrew went to Jesus and said, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." Andrew went and found his brother Simon, brought him to Jesus with these words. He said, "We have found the Messiah," or the Christ. And Peter came, and Jesus said to him, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Peter, rock." He gives him a new identity. And so we met them last week. Now we see them in their home environment, doing what they do. They're fishing. They're fishermen. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Jesus had an amazing way of meeting us, meeting people right where they were, and speaking their language, speaking in a way that they could understand. To speak to two fishermen and to say to them, "Follow me, and I will make you proclaimers of the word and devout followers of God Almighty, and you will convert many people." Well, what are they going to say to that? No, what he said was, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." It's fascinating because in Jeremiah chapter 16, God proclaims through the prophet Jeremiah, "Behold, I am sending for many fishers, declares the Lord, and they shall catch them. And afterward, I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the clefts of the rocks." God had said through the prophet Jeremiah that he was going to draw the people back to himself through fishers, through hunters. And here the first people that Jesus calls into ministry. Understand that this is not him calling them to follow him, but he is calling them into action, calling them to discipleship, calling them to ministry. He's not saying, "Follow me and I will tell you great things. Follow me and I will open up your eyes. Follow me and I will teach you great things." No, he says, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." He's calling them into action. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Well, they had already been acquainted with Jesus. And so, when he calls them to action, they get up and they go. They had seen miracles. They had seen, or they had heard his words. They knew him, and they knew he was worthy to be followed. And so, when he said, "Follow me," they left everything. Immediately, it says, they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John, in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them, probably with similar words. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. I want you to note the difference between the two actions here, okay? Andrew and Peter were casting nets into the sea. James and John were mending their nets. But in both cases, Jesus met them. They were doing. They were doing something. They weren't just sitting around talking about their great fishing conquests or anything like that. They were doing something. Andrew and Peter were casting their nets. James and John were mending their nets. In every season in the Christian life, there is a time for us to cast our nets, and there is a time for us to mend our nets. And what do I mean by that? I mean that there is a time, we need a time for action, and we need a time for healing, and both are important. And if we do not take time to see to our own spiritual growth, our nets become ineffective. They become threadbare and worn and holy. And I don't mean holy as in holy God. I mean holy as in they're full of holes. If we do not use what we learn, however, if we sit around and study the Bible and just keep it to ourselves and never take it outside and proclaim it to the world, then we will catch nothing. It's like having pristine, perfect nets hanging on a hook. They're never going to catch a fish. But if we don't tend to our nets and make sure that they are in good repair, they won't catch anything either. The fish will just swim right through them. So both things are important in the Christian walk. We must go into action. We must cast our nets. But we must also take time to refresh ourselves and mend our nets. Note also that Jesus meets us exactly where we are. To each of us, he gives a call. He calls us from our work into kingdom work. He calls the fishermen from fishing to fish for people. So how has Christ called you right where you are? Think about the place where you live. Think about the place where you work or the place where you dwell. How is God calling you into action right where you are? What is he saying to you? To Andrew and Peter and James and John, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." He calls us into action using language we understand. So where is he calling you? How has Christ called you right where you are? Notice also this word. It appears at the beginning of verse 20 and at the beginning of verse 22. And that word is immediately. Immediately they obeyed the call of Jesus and followed him. So the question then for us is, how ready are we to follow Jesus completely and without fail, to leave things behind even, to serve Jesus, to go into the world, and to cast our nets? We have a gospel. The gospel is our net. The gospel, the good news, that's how we can fish for people. We cast those nets into the waters of the world to draw people onto land. Not that they will perish, but to save them from perishing. How ready are we to follow Jesus completely and without fail? I told you at the beginning of the message that Damian kept throwing his net into the sea and pulling it back in. Would you like to know how many fish he caught? One. All day. All day long, he kept tossing that net into the sea and pulling it back in, and only once did he catch a fish. And you know what? It was a little fish. It's kind of embarrassing. But he kept it. He took it home. He cooked it. He ate it. You know, I had some of it. But here's the point. We throw our nets. We cast our nets. No matter how many times he drew his net empty, he kept faithfully casting it. He kept casting it and kept casting it. And he never got discouraged. He had patience all day long to catch that one little fish We need that patience too. We need to be able to faithfully cast our nets again and again and again. And when we draw it back empty, we throw it out again. We keep pulling it in. And we might only catch that one little fish. But that one little fish, says Paul, is a crown of glory for us. For God. For His kingdom. For His righteousness. For Jesus Christ, who called us to fish for people. We caught that one fish. And we ought to rejoice over just that one fish. Jesus, on the Sea of Galilee, in the later story in Luke chapter 5, he recounts a story about how Jesus is standing on the shore and there are many people there. And so to get his message out further, he got into Peter's boat and they set out a little bit away from the shore, and then he preached from there. And then when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Peter, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. We can cast our nets all by ourselves, and we might draw in one little fish. But if we cast our nets with Jesus at our side, we will pull in a haul that will begin to sink the boat. And what an amazing thing that is. To know that the Son of God will stand by us and He would fill our nets. Not for our glory, but for His. So Jesus calls each and every one of us into ministry, the casting and the mending of our nets. We could spend all of our time studying the Word of God and never acting on it, leaving our perfectly tended nets hanging up and never catching anything. Or we could spend all of our time witnessing to people and never tending to our own faith, and eventually the ragged and torn nets of our faith will fail to catch anything. Jesus calls us, as he did to those fishers on the Galilean Sea, to go into the world and fish for people by our lives. By our witness, we proclaim the same good news that makes us followers of Christ. I want to take a moment right now. I'm going to ask you to do something odd. We're not going to pray yet. We're going to lead into prayer. But just take a moment now. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now, I want you to imagine yourself on the shore of a great sea. Out there in the waters of the world are the people whom God desires to rescue. You can see them. They are plentiful. And in your hands is a net. The net is the gospel, and it is strong and true. And standing beside you is the Son of God. He puts his hand on your shoulder, and he says these three words: cast your net. Father God, we stand with the disciples on the shores of Galilee this morning, casting our nets and tending to them. Let us hear the call of Jesus saying, follow me and I will make you fish for people. Let us obey the Great Commission to go make disciples of all nations. We call upon the mighty name of Jesus, who stands with us and goes wherever we go. You will never leave us nor forsake us. By your Holy Spirit, give us courage to proclaim your word to the world, to our friends and family, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to the people that we meet. May our very lives be testimony to your great love and grace. And may we cast our nets far and wide, drawing others to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Christ calls us all into action, and He also calls us all into times of refreshing. So let me ask you a question. Are you spending time refreshing your spiritual life? Well, if you're listening to this podcast, then that is one thing that you can do. Bible study, prayer time, fasting, these are all ways that we can replenish our spiritual gas tank, as it were. See, we are like empty vessels, and we need to be filled from time to time, because we are also like cracked and leaking vessels. And we also pour ourselves out in ministry, and so we need to be refilled. Well, I hope that you have times of refreshing in your spiritual walk. But if you do not, you might want to consider joining a Bible study, or even listening to more Christian-based podcasts, such as Guerrilla Christianity. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our lesson today, and I hope that you have been refreshed by our teaching. And if you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service at 9 a.m., and Hudson United Methodist Church worships at 10:30 a.m. in Pedricktown. And we also have Bible study during the week, Monday nights and Thursday nights. And right now we're studying the promised land of the Bible with a series called That the World May Know by Ray Vanderlaan. It's a very interesting study, and we've really learned quite a bit. Now, if this podcast has touched you in some way today, I pray that you would let us know, either by comment, or you can email me directly at PastorBrettUMC@gmail.com. And if this teaching has touched you in some way, won't you consider sharing it with someone else who might want to hear it? You can access this podcast through the Podbean app on Android or on iTunes. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Well, I pray that this teaching has refreshed your soul, and that you will join us again for the next episode of Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.